Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Touchline Podcast, episode 30. You guys are in for a treat this time around because not only do you have Brett and Jared with me, say hi guys.
Hi.
Hi.
But we also joined by the world famous and Twitter famous RSL fan, Kelsey.
Hello all.
All right. She is world famous RSL fan, but also happens to work for Sacramento Republic, which is all right, right?
It's pretty fun. It's pretty decent.
Yeah. So we're delighted to have her on the pod today as well. Hopefully she'll make one or two extra people listen to the show over the one that normally does. I'm just kidding.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we're excited. So we're going to talk about Colorado and Vancouver and also a little bit about what it's like working for a soccer team. So, Colorado, guys, we got the 1-0 win. I think Jared was the closest. What did you predict, 2-0?
Yeah, I think I predicted 2-0.
Mm. Yeah, which is what it should have been because Yura's goal should have stood.
Yeah. Good job.
Poor guy got robbed.
That's happened a couple times so far this season. He's had good goals called incorrectly offside. But were you able to watch the game, Kelsey?
I was. Thank you, MLS Direct Kick.
It's the best thing ever. It's great to be able to watch all the games, even if it's not our broadcast crew.
Yes, indeed. No, I'm really lucky. I also have live stream, and so I will stream and listen to it like on my phone if I'm not at home, or put on DirectKick at home in my apartment, being the lone RSL fan here in Sacramento, probably to watch.
Oh, there's a handful. I know some folks that root for RSL because there's not an MLS team in Sacramento.
Yeah, I know there's. I've met, like, one or two. There was a family that came to our game once in RSL gear, but they didn't come to the Monarchs game. I got really excited. I was like, oh, my gosh, RSL fans! Probably scared them, running up in excitement.
Was the dad pretty tall, and did he have glasses?
I don't remember that well. They had a little boy that was maybe 2 or 3. I think it probably scared the beavers out of it.
Yeah, probably not them.
So kind of a side question, Kelsey, San Jose is technically the closest team. It's what, hour and a half away?
Yeah, about an hour and a half.
So do most of the people support San Jose, or do they feel like that's kind of like being a traitor because it's San Jose and you guys have some sort of rivalry with them?
No, I mean, I think it's a combination. A lot of fans grew up watching San Jose, so you have a combination of San Jose Quakes fans, and then you also have like transplants to Sacramento that come from Seattle, from Portland. I see a lot of Portland fans, actually. So it kind of depends. And two, it just happens to be that San Jose has a history of pulling players from the Central Valley and Sacramento region. So there's a lot of family ties between the two clubs as well. I mean, and I'll go down there every once in a while to watch a game. I'm actually going down 24th is when they play Sporting Kansas City, so I will be at that game.
Hmm. Where do the Earthquakes play again?
They're at Avaya Stadium. It's right across from like the San Jose Airport. They just opened it last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, world's largest open bar or something like that, right?
Largest outdoor bar, I believe, yeah.
Something like
that. Fun fact, the large soccer bar, largest outdoor bar in sports is actually at the home of Saracens Rugby Club in London.
Nice.
Really weird fact. I've been to their stadium. That's the only reason I know that.
I'm sure it's their pride and joy, knowing rugby fans.
Yeah, one of the U of U alumni played there last season, and I went out to go see a game there. So.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I keep keeping the tangent train going, but. Do a lot of the BYU, UVU rugby players and stuff, do they end up going over to Europe and playing rugby?
It really depends on the player. I mean, most of your guys that are playing in Europe are national team players who will do a little bit of dual experience with college and pro. It really just depends on the players. Again, the U.S. with rugby is kind of like 15, 20 years ago what the development system was in the United States for soccer. It doesn't really match up with the rest of the world in terms of college, especially since rugby is a club sport. So it just happened to be that my friend that was playing for them, he had already, like, debuted for the U.S. back when he was a teenager, but he walked onto the football team at Utah, and then when he was done with college, was like, I'm going to go back to playing pro rugby, and that's how he ended up there.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it just kind of depends. Yeah, there's a few guys from, like, BYU, especially, that tend to make the international circuit. So.
Well, that's cool. The things you learn.
Hashtag the more you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's, what's the G.I. Joe slogan? I don't know. Anyway,
knowing is half the battle.
There you go. Knowing is half the battle. I knew it was something like that. So, Brett, what were your thoughts on the soccer game?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, as you know, I was obsessed with Glad starting again. And
another Glad guy.
Yes. And I think overall he improves the defense. And so we saw a lot better defense in the shutout and showed that.
I would say that's definitely my preferred center back pairing for RSL, to be totally honest, this season so far.
Yeah.
Winger and Glad. Yeah.
I mean, cool. Mon even proved he can play goalie.
That was super impressive.
That was amazing. I watched that Vine over and over again.
Somebody should put that one and then the Tony Beltran one against Seattle, like back-to-back on a Vine or something. Back from when do you remember that goal that in the playoffs a couple of years ago?
Where Tony
saved one off the line? Anyway.
Paging Tyler Gibbons, if you're listening.
That's right. You should put those two next to each other because I just watch that sometimes when I need a little pick-me-up. just the look on like Brad Evans' face was awesome. But I thought the game overall was, like, I don't think either team played very well, honestly. And I was surprised with how I thought our pass percentage was actually going to be a lot lower than – or a pass – completion percent, pass accuracy was going to be a lot lower than it ended up being because we seemed to be missing passes all over.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the first half, they seemed a little disjointed. And I don't know if that was just because everybody had so much time off and everything.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
That would be my phone. I apologize. Apparently, I don't know how to turn my Dex notifications off on my phone. Sorry, y'all.
It's like a smoke alarm going off or something.
Boop, boop.
Brett was like, "Oh, you mentioned Glad twice in your article." I was like, "Yeah, I mean, you kind of had to. He really brought it on defense."
These last two games, he's proven that he's capable of being a starter for this team and providing exactly what they need back there for center back.
Have you guys noticed the trend with them seemingly starting slow offensively? I think Dunny was kind of talking about it a little bit on the call, that the long passes and whatnot, you just got to keep making them and eventually they'll be there, that kind of thing. I don't know.
Well, I think part of it, too, is our formation is a lot more fluid than it's been in past seasons. So I think probably the first 20 minutes is a lot of pacing and figuring out what formation is going to work best and how they're going to be switching, especially with the wings and forwards. Especially with Luke playing so much more up top lately. So I think that probably could be part of it, is they're seeing and feeling out how the opponent's playing, but maybe that's just my imagination.
That makes a lot of sense.
I think that has a lot to do with it also. I mean, they're kind of waiting that first 10, 15 minutes to see how the defense is going to react, and then they figure out how to attack from there.
Yeah, I you wonder, too, how much the other team is maybe a little more reserved as well at the beginning. Like, you know, Colorado, for example, if they were sitting back a lot more, so that makes it a little trickier at the beginning as well. But one thing about GLAAD that I wanted to ask you guys about, you know, so my seats are behind the north goal, and I kept noticing when he was on, you know, our side of the field, he kept making these blind passes over to Wingert or Phillips, and there almost every single time the Colorado guy was right there, almost like waiting to poach that pass. Did you guys pick that up on the TV at all? Did it? I mean, I kept freaking out because I thought he was going to have a bad turnover, but did you guys notice that at all?
I think because you were closer to the action, you probably picked up on it more than I did.
I mean, I think it's good. He liked to play out the back end. I'm not hating on GLAAD at all. It's just it seemed like there were two or three times that game where he made passes without realizing there was the other team was right there. So
that's interesting. That kind of makes you wonder if that's what Gasar was complaining about. They played poor defensively. What?
You had a shutout. What?
Yeah, I mean, but Colorado did have quite a number of chances. I mean, we talked about Mullen's save off the line, essentially, and they had several other ones. So
it's true. They did have some.
I think it's definitely too bad that we scored our one goal off kind of a fluky play. So, you know, then the national media takes that narrative as, you know, we were lucky to win and, you know, we only scored because of some weird fluke. So, I don't know. That's kind of too bad.
I'll take a fluke.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. 3 points is 3 points.
I'm preferring to go with the sleeping dragon narrative, so let the media take as long as they want to figure that aspect out.
Yeah. Well, the other narrative you could go with is, oh, they only scored 1 point this time. Has their streak of scoring multiple goals come to an end, and will they only score one or zero the rest of the season?
Hashtag narrative.
And I'll destroy that narrative because they should have had two goals.
It's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this next coming game on Saturday night, we're playing Vancouver. And Vancouver's been kind of up and down this season so far. You know, losing their first two games, then they won two, then they drew, then they got crushed last week by RSL. I mean, DC United with RSL.
You know,
Espíndola and Saborío both got two goals, so RSL strikers playing for DC United.
RSL East. Woo woo.
Version 2.
It moved from New York to DC.
Yeah.
So they lost at home to Montreal, they lost away to Kansas City, then they beat Seattle away, they beat the Dynamo at home, they drew to LA, and then they're going to play us. But I don't know, what are your feelings about the Vancouver? I think they're unbeaten against, or they haven't, we haven't, how do I phrase it? They haven't lost to us, or they're unbeaten, whatever, in like six games. We haven't beat them in six games.
I don't know.
All last year we lost all three games to them.
Yeah.
And they weren't even like, okay, we lost. It was, we got beat.
Yeah, I mean, but watching them this season, new year, new team, I haven't been necessarily impressed by any of their performances. I mean, especially when you look at, like, say, beating Seattle or drawing LA, that's not a whole lot of basis to necessarily evaluate performance, especially when we're unbeaten. So they've been up and down, but we're also unbeaten, so who would you consider to be more consistent? I'd have to go with that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and they got rid of Darren Maddox, who, you know, his speed is always a concern. They still have, what's the other guy's name? Oh, man. You're going to make me look it up. The other fast guy. Anyway, they do have Blas Perez, you know, our favorite guy to smash in the face with a frying pan, but
Teixeira?
No. Where the crap is there? There's their roster.
So we got Morales, Listed, Perez, Mana, Kudo.
Yeah, Mana. But it'll be interesting to see how we cope with some of the speed we've done well so far. I'm not that concerned with Blas Perez now. It seems like their defense has struggled a little bit. But they have, you know, they have, what's his name, Usted, the goalie. And he's always done really well against us, saving all sorts of shots, kind of like Raimondo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a nice, actually young team that they've kind of built around this core. And so in the terms of building a team, they've kind of done it the right way.
Yeah, they definitely use a lot of homegrown players for sure. What do you think, Kelsey? Have you watched any of their games? I haven't really seen them play.
I actually have not seen a single Caps game this year. I did watch their two team on Sunday, but not quite the same thing. I mean, I will say their residency program does a fantastic job producing talent. So, yeah, in terms of homegrown, but I honestly haven't seen a single one of their games this year. I've just seen the final scoreline. I am limited typically to Sundays for MLS. Makes it a little hard.
Yeah, with your Sacramento obligations.
Yeah, so I'll maybe watch the highlights, but I see less MLS working now in sports than I used to as a, like, not working in it for sure.
Well, Jared, you want to give us a...
I think it's your mic. Something. That's better.
That's better.
I don't know. Okay, anyway. I haven't seen the White Caps play, so I have no idea what they're going to look like on Saturday. But. I do think RSL is going to win. Because with a team that's unbeaten, they're not going to win.
Hey, Kelsey, let's try muting your mic.
Okay, one second.
Is that better? Maybe it was Kelsey this whole time. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Was it me? Am I the guilty party?
Yep.
Yep.
Could it be my computer making really loud sounds? Because that could very well be it.
I don't know.
Maybe.
We're still getting feedback. So, Jared, what's your prediction for the game? What do you think the score will be?
2-1. RSL. I think we've only scored 3 once this year. Or have we? Wait a minute.
No, we haven't scored 3 yet.
No, we haven't scored 3 goals.
What about you, Brad?
I'm tempted to go 3-2, but I don't know.
I'm going to have to say it's probably 2-2 draw.
Kelsey, you have a prediction?
I'm going 3-1. I think we finally get lucky with some of those goals that have been called offside. Maybe we see some burrito magic in the back of the net.
I love me some smothered burrito.
Always good.
I'm going to say 2-0. I think good 2-0 good guys.
Nice.
Another shutout. So, Kelsey, why don't you give us a little rundown of what it's like working for a soccer team? How'd you get the scoop, or how'd you get the job originally, and what is it like? Is it different being on the inside versus on the outside?
Yeah, oddly enough, I got the job. Well, I found it via LinkedIn. So, saw it, was like, oh, this seems interesting. applied, did an interview over the phone, and then via Skype, and then was basically told, hey, how soon can you move to California? And so I was at the time 4 days into a new gig at the University of Utah Bookstore and handed in my 2 weeks' notice and moved out to California, and I've been here ever since. I guess in terms of difference, yeah, I mean, obviously different. You're doing a lot less watching the game, which I know is odd considering a large portion of my job on match days to actually live tweet the game, but there's a lot less ability to tactically analyze your team, your side, etc., especially in the moment, so to speak. And then obviously it's a lot more full day-to-day, 9-to-5 during the week. It's not just, oh, you get to go to the stadium on match day or, you know, tweet about the match, so.
I was wondering if that would be hard, like one of the event staff guys who are there, but they don't get to actually watch the game at all.
No.
That'd be rough.
Luckily, my back is not turned towards the pitch, so that's nice. Yeah, it's definitely different in terms of what you're seeing working the event than, like, attending the match. There's a lot less, at least for me, there's a lot less emotional investment almost in terms of, like, the anxiety because I'm objectively watching or tweeting the match versus as a fan, I really enjoy the adrenaline rush that comes with watching not just soccer, but, I mean, University of football really likes to string me out in the third and fourth quarter. So either of those, it's just kind of a different mentality that you have watching the game, I think, in the front office, especially since my responsibility is literally to provide play-by-play online, my primary responsibility during the games.
What's your job like in the off-season?
It's still 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. We do a lot of events too. Marketing is definitely kind of the outlier in terms of schedule, just because we're at, you know, local concerts. We'll go do tabling events, player appearances. It's more calm during the off season, but it's still we're in the office Monday through Friday, and then we'll do other events throughout the week. A lot of evening benefits, charity appearances, stuff like that. So it's definitely more creatively finding ways to engage your audiences during the off season, just because during the season you obviously have the natural storylines of wins, losses, players getting injured, players coming back from injury, all that good stuff kind of goes away in the off season. So it's more of a finding storylines that you can tell creatively that keep your fans engaged and looking forward to the next season.
You know, it seems like Sacramento has really, like, latched onto this USL thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you know, have a really strong following. Is that, I mean, have you seen, like, year-over-year increases? Was it, like, all of a sudden this huge, like, uprising?
I mean, definitely at the beginning there was a lot of initial excitement, but we actually have seen a more steady growth, and especially social media, in the past season and a half than we did at the beginning. I mean, first season, when I want to say we were maybe at 3,000, 4,000 followers on Twitter, maybe 6. I don't have the numbers in front of me when I first started working with the club, which was in May 2014. So there's more stagnant or more steady growth as you get older, especially because the more followers you have, just the more visibility, so the more natural increase you have with fan following. So it's kind of organic in that regard. Almost like an avalanche, but it's growth instead of downhill. Natural progression.
Well, it doesn't hurt that what used to be the number one gig in town when I lived there in 2000, from 2000 to 2005, is now, you know, they've had a decade of futility, the Kings or Kings, as you will.
You know, I honestly don't think you can attribute that much of it, though, to how the other teams do in town necessarily. I mean, look at RSL. I mean, their attendance isn't really influenced one way or another by how the Jazz are doing, and I think Sacramento is a very similar market in that regard. I think it just happens to be Sacramento's really underserved as a sports market because, I mean, Salt Lake, you at least have really large NCAA programs nearby. Sac State and UC Davis are both D1, but they're considerably smaller than both BYU and Utah.
Yeah, and they're both terrible.
I would say that has a bigger impact more than anything else is that there's a lack of competition, not just with NBA, but with other sports teams at large. Like, high school sports are almost bigger here than college.
That makes a lot of sense because high school sports is kind of what was popular when I was there, too. Obviously, the Kings were in their heyday, too, but, yeah, the Sacramento is definitely underserved, and people, to a certain extent, feel like they feel a little bit disconnected from, say, like the 49ers or the Raiders because they're out in the Bay, and you're kind of inland towards, like, not exactly the Central Valley, but you're in the Sacramento Valley. You're removed from the Bay Area vibe. So, I can definitely see where you're coming from there. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, definitely a big identity difference, I think, too, between the Bay and Sacramento. Granted, I'm a transplant, so no expert in the region, but I'd say even with that, I could say that there's a huge difference in identity. The only one that there's necessarily a ton of crossover on is everyone here seems to be Giants fans.
Yeah, the Giants are a pretty dominant fandom, of whether it be Oakland or Sacramento. Yeah, I can't remember if the River Cats are actually the feeder club for the Giants or not.
Yes, they are now. They used to be affiliated with the A's, but they just switched to the Giants last offseason.
Well, I'm sure that's going to sell more River Cats tickets then.
I mean, River Cats have always been a hot ticket, too. I mean, until Charlotte Knights moved their stadium like 2 years ago, River Cats have always been number one in minor league baseball. So, I mean, you had the Kings that led NBA in attendance for how many freaking years, how many consecutive sellouts, and the River Cats were number one in minor league baseball, and then we rolled into town, and we were still number one in our respective category. So I think it's just kind of a hungry sports market.
I hear that. That makes a lot of sense. Do they still use that jingle? River Cats, River Cats.
Is this where I confess I've never been to a River Cats game, so I wouldn't know?
It's usually on the radio and stuff.
That's what Pandora's for, man.
You don't have to confess, man. No one listens to this.
I would say, I mean, the last time I even went to, like, the Bees Stadium was for a Utah baseball game, so.
Yeah, I've never been to a Bees game.
I think maybe I went 4th of July one year.
So, I hear you have a pretty epic scarf collection. What's that all about? And why do you collect scarves?
I mean, epic or embarrassing, your choice of words. I don't really know why I got into it. It just kind of sort of happened organically, I guess. I would say the first time I really went out of my way to buy a scarf was during the Hex qualifiers in 2013. U.S. Soccer's big push was each one of the scarves was printed with a different line from the national anthem. And I think that was probably the tipping point for me because it became, I need to have the complete collection of anthem hex scarves. So I went out of my way and spent an embarrassing amount of money on eBay to collect all five of them. And that probably was the tipping point for me. A lot of them, too, have come from scarf exchanges with other fans when I've gone to other stadiums and MLS. I have a friend that used to work for Seattle Reign. She's now down at LA Galaxy, but we would send each other merch items every once in a while, so I gathered a few rain scarves from her, etc. So it's just been kind of a natural accumulation over the years, and I can't seem to part with any of them, so I'm going to assume it's going to keep growing.
Nice.
Do you display them, or do you wear them ever, or are they just tucked away?
They tend to be my wall decor, as you can probably see. There you go.
Oh, very nice.
I am currently going with the too lazy to all my scarves into my wall as my art. My current strategy. So I'll wear them every once in a while. It just kind of depends. I'm always worried if I wear them, though, I'll lose one. Or, like, someone will be like, I'll trade you, and it'll be one I'm super emotionally attached to. So I tend to more display them than actually utilize them. I will say I probably get the most use out of our supporters section scarves just because I like to go to their watch parties. So I'll go when we're on the road, since I don't travel with the team, I'll often go sit at their watch party and tweet the matches from there, because their watch parties are actually in the main level of my apartment building.
Oh, nice.
So, that's awesome. Easy walking distance for me.
Do you have a favorite one that, you like the most?
Ooh. A hard one. Probably, I'd say I'll take the most pride out of my USL Pro Champion scarf. Mainly because we never had enough for all of us to get one, so I don't know how I ended up with one, but it is mine and I'm keeping it and it's never going to anyone else.
Awesome. Brett, you've been pretty quiet.
Oh, I'm just listening, man. I'm just listening. Trying to fix a couple of the technical difficulties we were having.
I really liked the national anthem thing that they did. I have the one when they came to the riot with Honduras.
Yes.
I don't know. That was a really cool idea. I really like that. It's kind of funny that game. I had extra tickets and I couldn't even give them away. Like, I don't know what the deal was, but I ended up with a bunch of extra scarves because I just used the tickets so I could get a scarf.
Right? No, I think I remember I saw that they were doing that, and I think their first Hex game was in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I'm gonna get the Denver one so I can be cool and have it at the Rio Tinto game. And I was like, wait, but then I need the rest of them. So I think that I really like that, too. I know that RSL's kind of did something similar last year where they had, like, all the player scarves. I like that concept a lot.
Yeah,
really want to feel
the one with where they did the Believe song, that was pretty cool, too. But I don't know if I ended up getting any of those.
Yeah, I noticed the special edition ones were always really hard to get there. Because I was there when gates opened, wore the Fear the Beard scarf, and it sold out before I could get one. I'm still really bitter about it. This is before Nat got traded, but I'm still bitter about it.
We'll have to, like, search eBay and everything and find it.
Yeah, and then convince me to spend, like, insane amounts of money, and then I, like, wouldn't even regret it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be hard.
I'm in breath waiting for the Justin Glad scarf.
I'm already putting in pre-orders for it.
I would wear
the Little Beard Junior.
The only one I have is the Javi Morales one. The Maestro scarf.
Oh.
Did you guys hear that his kid, I don't remember his name, but anyway, he was out practicing free kicks with the team the other day. And really? They're saying, you know, he's curling them over the wall and everything. You know, the fake wall, but he's going to be a crazy good soccer player.
Send him to the academy.
Oh, I'm sure he's already got a ticket reserved.
I'm pretty sure that's why they built the academy, especially for his son.
Just for him.
Yeah. He already has a whole wing reserved. Oh, man.
And
well,
Greg's going to be one of his instructors or something.
I'm working on it, man.
I know.
You guys have anything else for Kelsey? We really appreciate her joining us. It's been awesome.
You know, I think I'm fresh out of ideas.
Yeah.
You got anything for us, Kelsey?
Pretty much covered everything I was going to ask.
I'm trying to think. I'm not a very good on-my-feet thinker, apparently, at 9:15 p.m. Well, how do you guys start this podcast?
It just happened out of the blue.
I think Brett was doing it for a while by himself, and then somehow I got roped in. And then
was going to say, it actually started the last World Cup. I have a buddy here who does the local sports talk radio, and he needed somebody to cover, pretty much be a soccer analyst, and so he offered it to me, and I went on there, and then Grant found out about it and told me just go start a podcast, and so every once in a while I jump on the radio to talk soccer, but it's all here for now.
That's awesome.
That is pretty cool, man.
Yeah, we've been trying to make it a more regular occurrence. Jared's joined us since the start of this season, so we've had a threesome going for a little while.
We're in the process. Yeah, we've grown.
Rich, so Utah, that just sounds awkward to say it like that.
I'm good with it. It's been fun. We've had a few people come on. Charles came on one time, but that was the episode that Google lost. That's the lost episode that will never be aired.
I'm working on it still.
We had an awesome interview with Ian Joy. Was that last year?
Yeah, right before the New York game.
Yeah, that one was awesome. He talked a lot about RSL and about his time here, and it was really cool. But, have a good time. So, yeah, if there's other people you want us to talk to.
Sweet. I'll see you if I can brainstorm.
Yeah. Or anytime you want to come on, you're always welcome.
Hey, always welcome. I'm always down.
All right,
yeah,
well.
I think we're still working on getting Chappie. I can't remember if he said he's going to come on or not.
We'll just drive to Ogden and force him on.
Y'all should get... Why am I blanking on his name? University of Utah's women's soccer coach.
Oh.
He's fantastic. I interviewed the University of Utah, the women's soccer team. Okay. Their head coach is fantastic. I remember he was one of my favorite interviews when I was a student working for the Crony.
I know that we have been trying, and it's kind of difficult to get a schedule, but... UVU's head coach. Yeah. He's all for him.
UVU's head coach? That'd be cool. Yeah. I'm going to have to ask, I'm going to have to pick the Shum's brain, Leighton Shumway, so I can have some good questions to ask the UVU soccer coach. They know nothing about UVU's.
They got a legit team.
I've heard their soccer team is really good.
Say, only D1 men's program in the state.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, and let us know if you guys have any questions or comments, or just if you want to say how awesome Kelsey was, that's good too.
Or how terrible I was.
No, only positive things for Kelsey. We aren't going to look like Dunny's Twitter feed after instant replay.
Tell him your handle, Kelsey.
My handle is KP Kelsey. You ever want to give me a follow, listen to my really up and down rants about RSL and Utah football mainly. Say it's a pretty accurate description of my timeline usually on Twitter.
I'd have to agree with that.
The occasional... Republic. I think I definitely use my Twitter more for Utah things.
You can get me at @Frisbee_Rich on Twitter. Jared?
Yeah, I'm at GoTheDistance49 on Twitter.
Brett?
I'm at A24Brett or at @Touchline_TBS.
Yeah, so hit us up. Thanks again for listening, and we'll hope you guys listen next time.
See ya.